Listen, this is that time of year. Halloween is on the way, Thanksgiving, which means Christmas is right behind it. It's that 60, 90 day, holy F, here we go. Like, and it's going to happen incredibly fast. They just put it on sale, by the way. The return of It Isn't Christmas Without TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Mr. Al Petrelli, how are you, brother?
Good morning, my brother. How are you today?
Well, man, I know it's that time of year, and I know people are excited. Even though I was able to sweat in the yard the other day, I had friends asking me for tickets for TSO already.
I know. It's crazy. The year's gone by so fast.
Yeah, well, you just know something is a tradition when people are already hitting you for them. I'm like, maybe you try. I don't know. Buying a pair of tickets once in a while, you skeevy bastards.
Oh, the same with me, dude. It's like all of a sudden, you know, I'll start hearing from people I haven't heard from in a year. They'll text me, hey, how you doing? You know, it's like the end of September. I'm like, yeah, all right, here it comes.
That's right. But what a testament to the show, man. And nobody wants to miss it because it does. It means Christmas, man. When TSO rolls into your city and you want to go see something to remind you of the season and the way it feels and just the spectacular nature of it all. I mean, it's...
I appreciate it. Listen, it's going on. It'll be 30 years this coming February that I recorded those first notes to Christmas Eve Sarajevo. Yeah. And, you know, three decades and, what, 25 years of touring and coming through Kansas City every year. By the way, Chiefs looked amazing last night.
Isn't that crazy? We just keep moving on and moving on. The Royals beat the Yankees, and I'm like, holy cow, how long can this continue, you know?
Well, listen, I had it in 1969 when the Mets and the Jets won the World Series and the crazy Super Bowl, respectively. So maybe it's your guys' turn. Good luck.
We'll see. Listen, you know what's weird, Al, is, and I'm not a giant sports guy, but obviously over the last few years, there's no avoiding it, but we've never been the bad guy. I've been everywhere I've traveled in the world. You go, oh, I'm from Kansas City. And Kansas City was everybody's second favorite team, right? Whoever your team was. And I root for you guys. But we've morphed into the hated team, which is super weird if you're from Kansas City to see it. Because we're just used to being the good guys. We're used to being the hopeful guys. Like, suddenly we're, you know, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. And it's a different world for sure.
Hey, listen, when you know you're doing great when you start getting a whole pile of haters after you.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, everybody's
right.
Talking about Taylor Swift. Listen, because of Taylor Swift, that my two young daughters sit on the couch with me to watch the game, you know, on Sundays or last night, Mondays. You know, my 8-year-old daughter had a Pacheco hoodie on.
Nice.
So, you know, she brought a bunch of young girls to the TV, and now they're enjoying the sport for what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, listen, Kingdom of Champions. I'm a huge KC fan. So, let them keep going, dude.
You and you're just out taking this monstrosity, this juggernaut back out on the road, the biggest show anybody's ever seen tour, and
yeah,
doing two shows a day at T-Mobile, doing the matinee and, of course, the later show, and $1 of every ticket goes to a charity here locally, and you've been doing that all these years, for 30 years. You know, you think about the money you put into communities, not just the love and the emotion and the show that you gift people, but the money, the real thing that moves needles every year, every show, every city. That nobody does that.
Well, listen, I appreciate you saying that, but, you know, we've talked about this over the years. You know, that's Paul O'Neill, you know, and the O'Neill family. I mean, you know, I remember we did our first show back in 99 at the Tower Theater in Philadelphia, and Paul came up to me and he said, listen, I'm going to take $1 from every ticket we sold tonight and, you know, donate it to a charity that he really liked. I was like, that's fantastic, and he did it the next night. He goes, we're going to do this every ticket we ever sell forever. And somebody told me a couple weeks ago that we just crossed over the 20 millionth ticket mark.
That's crazy.
So if you do the math in your head, you know, I mean, $1 doesn't seem like a lot of money, brother, but it's added up. And, you know, Paul didn't just talk about making a difference. He made a difference. And I'm very proud of him and his family, and what we continue to carry on. And, you know, his legacy is important.
Oh, dude, listen, first of all, you $20 million is an unbelievable sum. But then I think about what that means is you have played to 20 million people.
Yeah.
Go back to the 20-year-old you and go, one day, Al, you're going to know for sure. And you've done a lot of other shows and a lot of other bands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much greater than that, but $20 million with one project. 20 million people.
Yeah, you know, you talk to the 20-year-old me, and I was, you know, dead set on, you know, locked and loaded. I'm going to be a guitar player. I'm going to be a musician. I'm going to make records. I'm going to do tours, you know. And the average lifespan of a musician isn't too different than the lifespan of an athlete, you know. 5, 6, 7 years,
sure.
You know, you have a good run. Fantastic. If you would have told me at 20 that I'd be doing this at 62.
No.
I'd be like, yeah, you're tripping.
And it's about Christmas, and it's about family.
And it's about Christmas, right.
Yeah. For those you don't know, Al played in with Mustaine and Megadeth, played Dee Snider and Widowmaker. It goes on and on. Celine Dion. Like, it just, you've played, and you're a session player that everybody loves, and you're a great musician, and you're a wonderful
Thank
member
you.
Of those bands. But this, we never know where it's going to happen for you. Yet at some point, you had to say yes to Paul O'Neill. He's talking to you about this crazy idea about Christmas Eve Sarajevo, about a Christmas show, which on paper, there's no way it looks to you at that moment the way it looks to
us. No, it's not. This ain't going to work. You know, because I mentioned to you before, brother, the first words that came out of Paul's mouth to me was, he goes, I just want to make great art. Okay?
Right.
And if you concentrate on the art, you know it's going to be great. He's not doing it for anybody else. It has nothing to do with commerce. It's got nothing to do with anything. He just wanted to make a musical statement, and he did. All right? And when that record hit the radio back in winter of 95, nobody had ever heard anything like that before. You know, so the first mission accomplished. Then he wanted to write a record around that. And again, just for the sake of making great art. You know, now this is 30 years ago. I was 32 years old, and I was like, you know, this is fantastic, and we're getting some airplane. We sold a couple million records. Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
But again, it's the people's attachment to his lyric, his story, his poetry, the honesty of the record, the show. Listen, one of the greatest rewards, forget about, you know, the longevity is wonderful and all the things that go along with that, but the fact that we've also kind of helped change some of the trajectories of some of the kids' lives in the audience by them turning around and saying, you know what, I saw TSO last night. I want to take guitar lessons. I want to take violin lessons. I want to take piano lessons. You know, that influence is like the real hidden treasure in my world. That I love as much as anything else about it.
No, and you've turned people on to different genres not knowing, right? Like, so metalheads go because it is just this ferocious just show. At some of the greatest guitar players in the world, some of the greatest singers in the world. I mean, from you to Soto to, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And then, but we also learn about the nuances of a show, like a Broadway level show, a musical.
Mm-hmm.
We also, you're getting fed this incredible emotional story that you weren't maybe prepared for. And you don't really have time to, seal yourself off. You know how we are as men, right? Like when it starts to get emotional in a movie or starts to get emotional in a situation, we tend to throw the walls up. But when you're at a concert and you're watching it, it creeps up on you until you're completely engulfed in it. And it really is. It is magic, man.
Listen, you know, if I say it, I'm selling a show. If you're saying it, it's gospel, you know. But it's true because, you know, everybody relates to Paul's story. You know, you insert your situation into Paul's lyric or Paul's poetry, the entire evening becomes about you, and that's something very magical. You know, his art form is very accessible, but certainly not ordinary, as we're aware of. And I think that's the reason why the folks that come back year after year, I refer to as the repeat offenders, they get it. And then, you know, they'll be bringing, you know, their aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends, whatever with them and said, you got to check this show out. And then those people, they see a spectacle, they hear some great music, but at the same time, they're experiencing something, you know, a little bit deeper than that, that they relate to. And, you know, and this has become for them, well, to them, what, you know, Charlie Brown's Christmas or Miracle on 34th Street was to me when I was a kid.
Right. No, no, the cake is fine. The frosting's insane. But
I love that one.
You know, but it's real. Like it really is. If it didn't have a touch of frosting on it, it would be amazing. But you add the rest to it. You show the show that you guys made. The price of the ticket is so much less than I would be for any other artist. And I really mean that. Like if people understood what it takes to move that show, the amount of lighting, the amount of special effects, atmospherics, of PA, of musicians, of level of everything that comes along with that show, the size of that show. There's no touring band with higher technology, with more gear, but for a show that size, in an arena that size, there's nobody that tours that. I've never seen a rig that size ever. I've never seen that many trucks outside of an arena, outside of a...
Yeah, we pulled out of the Dodge last year. I think we had 21 tractor trailers and 12 buses.
That's crazy.
But you got to keep in mind, though, it's like anything else. It's like, you know, Bill Gates in his garage when he was a kid. You know, this thing started in 99, our first show, with a box truck, a bus, and a fog machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was it.
Memorial
and it's grown
Hall.
Up like one of our children have grown up and exceeded every one of our expectations. So people look at it now and go, how do they do that? Well, we've been doing it a long time, and it's grown every year incrementally.
Are you in? Are you guys done with Omaha now, or are you in Omaha?
No. I get to Omaha, I think, next week. We're just finishing up last-minute meetings, tweaking the set, you know, via Zoom conferences and other stuff like that. I'm going to get out of here, I think next weekend, and then we're going to hit it because you know us. We're going to run that show, you know, 40 times, 30, 40, 50 times maybe at rehearsal because I want every night to be a perfect first show.
Yeah, it is flawless. Like, I've never seen a mistake made. It has to have happened. But I can tell you, the audience can't ever see it because it's flawless. Every single time, every single show I've ever seen. And I'm one of those guys, you know me, I'm a nerd. Like, I watch the mechanics of it. I watch the pacing. I watch how people come on stage, off stage, how everything goes together. Because I'm fascinated with that storytelling ability with that many moving parts and pieces, that many guys in a road crew with the lighting. That one thing moves the wrong way and it distracts the entire audience out of the story. But it never happens. I never see
it. Well, it happens, but my job is to make sure you never notice it.
No, you lead it in a way that it really is. It really is something special, man.
Listen, hearing you say that means everything, because you've seen a lot of shows in your life, my brother.
Yeah, no. If you're just joining the show, the great, the legendary friend of the show, Al Petrelli from TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, rolls in December 7th, T-Mobile, two shows. But if you've not seen it, you have to. If you have seen it, you know, grab some friends, come out again. It's December 7th, T-Mobile, two shows. It's on sale now, and it'll be fantastic to see you, man. I hope you have a great rehearsal in Omaha, and I can't wait for Kansas City.
I'll see you in about a pair of months, and love to the family, and can't wait to get back there, brother. It's going to be awesome.